And that implicates a whole different school of thought, or I shouldn't say school of thought. It's a different question altogether.
Okay. Well,
the voter registration thing. I have always felt that anything that was calculated to make it easier and better for everybody to vote was a good thing. And I didn't perceive that to be the statute that we're talking about. I didn't perceive it to have anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't implicate the question of representation in any way.
No.
It had to do with voter eligibility. And, you know, so long as it applies to all voters equally, I don't have any problem with whatever they do.
I see. Well, Black, in a footnote, had cited the constitutional language under which this law was written. It says the legislature shall, this is a provision of the Constitution that he considered pertinent. Legislature shall enact laws to preserve the purity of elections,
mm-hmm.
to preserve the secrecy of the ballot,
mm-hmm.
to guard against abuses of the elected franchise, and to provide for a system of voter registration and absentee voting.
Yes, which certainly is, I have no problem with that. The legislature, the Constitution authorized the legislature to do it, and they did it.
Yeah. Okay, well, the thing that seemed to me to be a repeating pattern here is this four-vote combination, and that's what the reason is for bringing this up. If it was a four-vote combination in the apportionment case in May to satisfy a political purpose, is this another example in June of the same thing? That's really what I'm asking. This is the one. And then here in December, you have another instance of where four votes are sprung after a sort of a unusual sequence of events. And now I'm talking about the governor versus state treasurer case, where Brennan had been assigned, Tom Brennan, to write what he thought was going to be the majority opinion, and he goes ahead and does it, and he circulates his opinion, and there's silence for 4 months. And finally, when the time is running out on for Justice Adams to have a vote, his term expired on the 31st of December, suddenly the four-vote combination appears, and here you have a opinion that was really a strange creature. This is something that invalidated, sort of by inference, the financing system of the schools of the state. But by its terms, it said, well, this question is moot now because there's been a new state school aid law adopted. So we're telling the legislature, you better take a good look at this problem, even though we admit that our opinion right now has no force. There is going to be no order issued, and there was none. And in January, the thing with two new justices on the court was ordered reheard, and the order of the or the opinion later was vacated, and later in the year. Well, I'm sorry that I dwelt so long on this. I thought I saw a pattern here that was significant. And I just wondered if you thought the same way, because there's going to be a change in the apportionment attitude, and going to be a change in a lot of other things due to the fact that you get two new people coming on. So you'll excuse me for that long digression. I thought.
Why don't you pose the question specifically that you have in mind?
Well, okay, let's say we're talking about the changing character of the court due to changing membership. And in 1972, the year we're talking about, when the apportionment case was decided, where you entered the dissent that we've been discussing, mm-hmm. in 72, there were two new members elected to the court, right?
Yes, right.
I think the thing that needs to be answered here, Justice Kavanaugh, is whether you anticipated, or what you did anticipate when you cast the vote that you did, and I'm putting a great focus on it because a lot of people say that the apportionment was the most important thing before the Michigan Supreme Court for about two decades, and it certainly was important in your political life and in your judicial life. As it turned out, did you recognize, or did you have some inkling in 72 when you filed the dissent that we're just talking about, that this would be instrumental 4 years later in depriving you of the support of the party that had originally nominated you for the Supreme Court? Would even though you were then Chief Justice, it caused. Or was a significant cause, according to the leadership of the party, for withdrawing or withholding support in 76. Did you have any inkling that this was in the wind?
Well, I knew at the time that many of my friends in the Democratic hierarchy were very unhappy with me and with my decision. And I knew that a lot of them were probably going to have nothing to do with me politically after that, but I don't recall that I anticipated that it would in effect cause them to withhold their nomination. I don't know that that thought ever occurred to me at that time. Toward, you know, later on, towards the time of the convention, it became apparent to me that there were a lot of them that wanted to get rid of me.